he really felt on his heart that that's something God laid for him, for all of us. Like John says in the book of Revelation, let he who has ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church.
Yeah.
Can we please have more volume on here? He has a very deep voice.
Yeah, so I just got this vision yesterday. It's basically like a dream. And it was the coming of Jesus. And I was left behind. So I wrote it down. And this is what it says. So we were all by the family camp. And the whole church was there. And we were just having fellowship with each other. The wind was blowing and clouds started to form. And we were just laughing and spending time together. And then suddenly, in the midst of the clouds, a huge bright light came. And I heard trumpets. And all I could hear my dad say was, "He is here." And I was so happy and ready to see my Savior and the Almighty God. And all I could remember seeing everyone in the church at the camp vanish. And I was waiting to see the Lord, but all I could see was other people that was Muslims and other religions with me. And I started to cry because I was left behind. And I could see my Muslim friends and all people that didn't believe in God with me on earth and just couldn't understand why I was left behind. Suddenly, the mark of the beast came, and I saw my friends take the mark to survive on the earth. But I refused, and they were about to kill me. And I woke up and started crying and repenting. All I can say is it's not nice to be left behind, to just get right to God so you won't experience it.
Father, we thank you for what you are saying, not just to graduates, but what you are saying to the church. And Lord, we believe that the words that you spoke to him was not to make him feel guilty or ashamed. Your heart is always to reveal your love to your children. So I stand on the words of Apostle Paul, who says, "We have received this ministry of reconciliation." And Lord, I pray, Father God, that he will know that in Christ he has been reconciled with you. And that, Lord, you spoke that dream and that vision because, Lord, you want him to walk in a way, Father God, that glorifies your name so that he can pull others into you, into oneness with you. And Lord, as a church, we just come together and we pray, Father, that If there is any of us in the room where we're still double-minded about our walk with you, the truth that we hear once again is that the King is coming back. Our King shall return. There is no doubt about that. But Lord, our heart desire is to be taken up with the King when he returns. So Lord, if there is anybody in the room who knows that they still need to fix their walk with you because there is uncertainty, one foot in the world, one foot in Christ. Lord, we pray that this morning you will bring conviction, not conviction that destroys, but convictions that pulls closer to you. We usually do this at the end of the service, but I'm just going to do it now. If you are in the room and you really feel like my walk with Christ needs to be made right, because it's not fantasies that Jesus is going to come back. He is going to come back. And you really feel in your heart that there needs to be some kind of adjustment and alignment in certain areas of your life. I just want to encourage you to not take chances. Just raise your hand. Stand up where you are. We want to pray with you and for you as a community. you're in the room, don't hesitate. We usually say, come and see one of the elders at the end of the meetings, at the end of the service. There is no shame in wanting to be closer to Christ. So just want to extend this invitation for 2-3 minutes. If that is you in the room, the Lord, the King wants you closer.
There's this scripture, and it's in 1 James 22, and it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in whatever they do.
Amen. Thank you to that. As Shem shared, and when God speaks in two ways. Prophecy comes in two ways. It's an encouragement of the church, or to call us to repentance. And as we said, we believe this is a call from the Lord to say that our time is short on earth, and we know that. But He's calling to a time for repentance for the church, to say, don't be the one that never gets to know me. Because when I come back, I come to fetch those who have confessed with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He's coming back for us.
Amen.
When we give over to the band one more time. Or I'm gonna close it now. Is it fine? Cool, thanks. And then, yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for leading us in worship. Thanks, Sam, for that prayer. But like Sam shared, the call is still there. The call is there. If you would like to pray with any one of us, if you feel you want to pray with Brad because he got the dream as well, please go. In our church, we don't despise the little ones or the younger adults. We give them the room because we feel God can speak to anyone through anyone. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for leading us into ushering God's presence so beautiful this morning. I'm going to give over to Kids Church. The guys can go to Kids Church now. Thank you so much, Rieta and the team for that. And this morning, you're going to receive from someone who became a friend to me, and now is a brother in Christ. Someone that I walk with, someone that I will go to war with. We're in this together. When I was praying and really trusting the Lord for our leadership, I really spent time praying myself and talent, and we really felt Theo strongly on our heart, not because he's a great guy, but because he has something that the church of God needs out there. And we believe that there's something in him that Boston needs, and last week I had a taste of it, so I didn't want the church to hold on too long for that. So now this week we're giving him another chance to you. You can come up. Can the rest of the team also come up with me quickly as we receive this amazing gift from God? For those who don't know me, I'm Bradley. And I have the privilege of serving in this church. Samuel. Yeah, Theo. You know, you're a brother to us, but only not a brother. When I pray and I think about you, and I was just praying just now in during worship, I really felt you like Timothy. Like people will look at your age and they will think, what can this guy teach me? But when they spend time with Timothy and they realize the amount of wisdom and the depth of understanding of Jesus Christ that he had, that is who you are. And that's when I think about you, I listen to you, I follow your love and your wisdom. I trust your word, and I trust you as a person. So Theo, we as a church receive you this morning. We receive that you hear from God. We receive the fact that the word that you're going to speak is directly the truth and unashamedly the gospel of Jesus Christ that calls us to repentance and calls us to save. We know that you have a heart and a lust to teach the way in a way that everyone in this room will understand it. And that's my prayer today, that every single ear, those who have ear, let them hear today that the Spirit says to them. I'm going to ask talent as we praise for you. We're just going to receive you this morning.
Father, we thank you for your servant. We thank you for the one that you have sent. Lord, you said, how shall they know if there is no preacher? Lord, you said those who receive a prophet, who in a prophet's name, will receive a prophet's reward. And this morning we receive Theo, even as a speaker, as a prophet, as a minister of the word, as he carries your mandate to speak your word. And so we thank you. We speak your authority even on his shoulders. We speak boldness, even as he delivers what you have given to him. And we bless him in Jesus' name. We also bless the church, even as we receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Sam, can you stay here quickly? Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Hello. I just want to take 2 or 3 minutes to honor this man on his birthday. Can I just pray for you? Lord God, thank you very much for this day and this wonderful time in your presence, Lord God. Thank you, oh Lord, for just this time of worship that we could have had with you, Lord God. And Lord, I just want to also thank you today for Sam, and that you have given him as a gift to us, Lord God, not just as the church, Lord God, but even just as friends, Lord God. And Lord, you've bestowed on him so many gifts and so many talents, Lord God. Such a witty person, Lord God. Such a joyous person, Lord God. And, you know, Lord, I just want to thank you for Sam, Lord God. Thank you for how much he has blessed us, Lord God, encouraged us, Lord God, led us, Lord God, in worship, stood in front and really helped us to fix our gaze on you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to increase, Lord God, in his life, Lord God, that you will bless him, Lord God, in his relationship, Lord God, also his other relationships, Lord God, his friendships and his work, Lord God, but is even just more in his walk with you, Lord God, and in his ministry, Lord God. And may you have a wonderful birthday today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool. Good morning. Wow, full house. Sounds very loud. Okay, here we go. Welcome everyone, and thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to share. The title of my sermon today is A Merciful God, and I'm quite excited to share this message. Thank you also, Bradwood, for the boldness in his absence. Thank you also just for the boldness to share. So, today we're going to speak about God's mercy, and I'm going to see if I can explain this to the best of my abilities. I'm going to start with a question. Have any of you ever asked God to reveal something about himself to you? Don't necessarily have to answer out loud, but maybe you've asked God, I want to see something about you. Show me something about yourself, something that I haven't seen before. Now, in the book of Exodus, Moses did a similar thing. So the background is that Israel came out of Egypt, and they'd been in Egypt for 400 years, and they might have gotten mixed with the Egyptians and seen other gods and so on. And God really called them back to himself. And so there was a time where God was revealing himself to Israel, and he was giving them his commandments. But he was also showing them his heart. And unfortunately, the Israelites themselves did not meet with God. They stood separately. But Moses had intimate encounters with God in what was called the tent of meeting. And he'd go in there and he would pray with God. And there were other times when he was on the mountain speaking with God. And on one such occasion, Moses asked a question, and he basically asked God, reveal something about yourself. And so we are going to read in Exodus 33, verse 18 to 20. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, this is God. Sorry, just a second. Okay, I'll start again. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And then if we continue a couple of verses later, this is where, so Moses had now had asked, he put in the request, and this is where we see God giving him the answer. So in Exodus 34, verse 4 to 7, so Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. So maybe the background here is initially Moses got the Ten Commandments, and then he came down, saw that Israel had made a golden calf. He broke the tablets, and now he went back up to the mountain to meet with God, and he now had the new tablets in his hand. So God was about to give him the commandments again. And he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, so this is what God said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So that is quite a mouthful, but this is what God reveals about himself, and he says, this is my name. I'm just going to go to the next slide because there was a lot of detail in there, and I'm just going to unpack what God said a little bit. You can probably spend ages on this, but I'm going to give you, just break it down a little bit so that we can see the individual phrases. Okay, wonderful. And so what I wrote here was my very high-level understanding in English of what those words mean. a God merciful and gracious. Whoopsie. And so merciful being to show, to love, or to show compassion. So this is who God is. He's gracious, meaning to show kindness, and in this context also to those who are inferior to him. Abounding in steadfast love. Abounding meaning abundance. And steadfast love. So it's constant love. Forever. Faithfulness. Meaning that he's trustworthy. And is true to his word and his promises. Remember, this is what God is saying about himself. God is revealing this. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. And what I added there is, it can also be translated to the thousandth generation. So for 1,000 generations, God can show steadfast love. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I didn't write anything there, but really God forgiving almost any type of transgression against him. But he forgives. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And so this is also saying that God is still just. He will not just unjustly forgive everyone blanketly. But see also that God's steadfast love, or rather, let me say, how God's judgment goes to the third and fourth generation, but his love goes for 1,000 generations. And so, God reveals this about himself to the Israelites there there in the desert. And this is such a foundational scripture throughout all of the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament. There are many other scriptural references that will always point back to this. You will often see David referring to this when he wants to say something, or appealing to God's steadfast love. I almost want to say it feels like you can have a treasure hunt in the Bible looking for scriptures that refer to this statement of God. And so it's safe to say that any Jew at that time knew this. This was after God had made this declaration. God said it to Moses. Moses related back to them. So if you were God's people, if you were a Jew, you knew this. This wasn't one of the many small laws or whatever it is. This was such a fundamental statement about who is this God that we serve. And this God said, this is who I am. So the Jews really knew this. I'm now going to jump to another story in the Bible. And we're going to read the story, but I'm going to illustrate how we can see God's character that he had revealed in the story. Many of you might know the story of Jonah. We're not going to read the whole book or the children's book, so I'm going to give you a quick summary so that we can get to the parts I want to focus on. So, where the story starts is there's this big city, Nineveh, massive city, filled with people who are, I'm going to say, not following God. So they are evil people. And God says to Jonah, his prophet, the evil of Nineveh has come up before me, and you must go and call out against that city. And Jonah responds by saying, no, thank you, I'll go that way. Long story short, he gets on a boat with some sailors. God brings a massive storm. They cast lots and they figure out Jonah as the guilty person. Jonah is the reason the storm is there. They toss him over into the boat. They ask God to forgive them for doing this and to not lay the guilt on their hands. And they are forgiven. Ultimately, we see. But anyway, so Jonah is in the water. The fish swallows him up, and he's in the fish for 3 days. 3 days later, he gets spat out on a beach. And at that time, God comes to him again. So he's gone full circle, and God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and call out to that city. And we'll read from here. Oh, just a second. So we're in Jonah chapter 3, from verse 4 to 10. Jonah began to go into the city. So he's now gone to Nineveh. He's now obedient. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I know this is my first sermon, but I think there are some pointers for Jonah at giving maybe a better message than this one. But here we go. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent, and turn from his fierce anger, that we may not perish. And verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So we see here that God forgives the Ninevites when they repent, but we're going to come back to that. First, we're going to have a look at Jonah's reaction to this story. Now, we know at the start, Jonah ran away when God gave him this command the first time. Have you ever wondered why Jonah ran away when God gave him that commandment? We're going to read in chapter 4, and the answer is there. From verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Another translation also says, it was evil in his sight, the fact that God forgave these people. And look at what Jonah says now. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Does it sound familiar? The rest we don't have to read. That's Jonah's seventh alone act. So maybe at this point, I'll read the rest of the passage. So that was Jonah's response. Before we analyze that, I'm also just going to read the rest of the part, because God now has a conversation with Jonah. Because if you think about the context here, there is a city, maybe the size of Cape Town, and God gave Jonah a word, and he went to Cape Town, and he said, guys, God's going to destroy you. And immediately, everyone stopped what they were doing. They fell on their knees, and they accepted Jesus as their Savior. That's the equivalent of what is happening there. Everyone, from Milnerton, everywhere, all the way, Melkbos, wherever, everyone accepts Jesus as their Savior. But Jonah's angry. We're going to get back to that. Let's just read how God also has a conversation with Jonah. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So he's really hoping that God would still destroy Nineveh. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. Oh, sorry. That's not on the slides. Apologies. But for those who are following, I'm now at verse 8. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" So Jonah is now angry about the plant that had died. And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." It's very dramatic. Verse 10. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" And so, this is a well-known story, but I don't think we necessarily often look at this last part about the engagement between God and Jonah. And I was looking at this and asking, what does the scripture say about Jonah? We'll first look at that, and then we're going to look at what the scripture says about God. So what does it say about Jonah? Well, Jonah got angry at the fact that God forgave the Ninevites. But we also read that Jonah said he knew that God was going to forgive them. That's why he ran away in the first place. He actually knew that God was gracious and merciful, and that he would relent from disaster. So why then was he angry? And now this isn't stated there, but this is how I've come to understand this, is maybe in Jonah's mind, he thought that this God that was revealed to them in the desert, in Israel, this merciful God, was only merciful to his people. And the fact that God was also showing mercy to the evil people was wrong to Jonah. And that made him angry, because he thought God was their God, and the mercy was for them. But suddenly God is showing mercy to those other people who are not his people. And then also looked at what the scripture says about God. I think firstly, I am amazed at how God is still gracious towards Jonah, and slow to anger, even though Jonah's heart is completely in the wrong place. But more than that, what it shows me is that, unlike Jonah, God has compassion on the people who are doing wrong. Because it says in verse 11, God says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city?" And he says there, it's people who do not know their right hand from their left. They're so confused. They just don't know what they're doing. And God actually pities them. He says, "You actually don't know what you're doing." And God in his merciful character doesn't just go and destroy those people. He actually gives them an opportunity to repent. And when they do, then he forgives their sins. Because they showed true repentance. They realized that they had done wrong. And we can see that they really are sorry for what they've done. And they ask, maybe God will forgive us. And they actually call out to a character trait of God, of a God that they don't even know. And when God sees that response, someone who asks for truly asks for forgiveness, he will forgive them. And so what the story, I think, lastly shows me about God is that God's love is not just for the Israelites, not just for his people, but God's mercy, his love, is for the whole world. And so, taking a step back again from the story and seeing this about God, this is a story in the Old Testament. But for me, this really shows God's character, but also it shows what God, I want to say, is going to do so many hundreds of years after Jonah in sending his son to the world so that God can be merciful to the whole world and give the whole world an opportunity to receive God's forgiveness if they ask for it. And that the whole world, not just the Jews, might receive God's steadfast love. And so, the story of Jonah is one example to show God's love. But the ultimate illustration, demonstration of God's love is in him sending Jesus to earth to pay the price for our sins. And that we sitting here, I believe most of us have already believed in Jesus, asked for forgiveness, and we are the recipients of God's steadfast love. But there are many who, or let me rather say, the invitation still stands for many to receive it. And so in closing, you can flight the last slide. There's a very well-known scripture, probably the most well-known. But, well, let me just read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you. I'm going to ask the band to come up and maybe just play something in the background. So, as the band's playing, I'll invite you just to close your eyes. And today, I just want to give an opportunity for two groups of people to respond to the word. The first one is, if you sit here and you hear that there's a God out there who is merciful, you know about him, but you know about his Son, but you have never made that decision to follow him and to believe in Jesus as the forgiveness, as the one who forgives your sins and who paid for your sins. And today you want to respond. You want to just, as a sign, just raise your hand and say, God, I haven't really experienced your mercy in my life, but I need it so much. I thank you for showing your mercy by sending your Son, and I want to receive your forgiveness. Thank you for that hand. And then the second group, or the second thing I want to pray for is, if you are a Christian and you know God and you've walked the long road with him, but you really just want to know more about his mercy, and more specifically, you also want to have his mercy in your heart, not just have it in your head, but really have it in your heart for others, for those who have not received it. Then I'd also invite you to just raise your hand as a sign to God. Thank you. Right, I'll pray for us.
My children, I love you.
Yes, Lord God, thank you that Lord, the ultimate demonstration of your love is by you sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, and for us that is the greatest joy, knowing, Lord, that our sins are forgiven and that you will relent from the disaster that was coming toward us. Lord, and for those who raised their hands, Lord, you can ask, you can speak to God and ask Him to forgive you, to forgive your sins. And trust that what Jesus has done on the cross, the price that He had paid, is sufficient for you to be forgiven. And that from this day on, you can receive God's mercy and His steadfast love and His grace, His kindness, His faithfulness. I'll also invite you to come afterwards, after the service, that we can also pray with you. Lord, and then, oh Lord, I also just want to pray for everyone else who raised their hands, Lord God, and even those who did not, Lord God, that, Lord, yeah, firstly, I thank you that we have your word, Lord, that we can see you in your word, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that we might know you more richly, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help us, Lord God, to see you more and to also understand your scriptures, Lord God. But, Lord, to take it from something that we know in our heads, Lord God, to something that we have in our hearts, Lord God. I also pray, Lord, that you will open up our understanding, Lord God, that we might not just see your love as something for ourselves, Lord God, but that we may know that you sent your Son for every person on this earth. And you desire every man to be saved. And I pray, Lord, that you will do a work in our hearts, Lord God, that we might have the same compassion that you have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Theo. we're going to close the service here. The invitation is still open. If you would like to be prayed for, you would like to be ministered to, I think the elders and the ministry leaders will be here in front to pray with you. But we can just going to pray for us to close the service. Lord, I don't think we ever understand the grace we are benefactors of in Christ. As your word says, you will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. And so many times, God, when in our pursuit of you, we go look for things far wide and beyond when the real core of our relationship with you is that you, our God, are gracious and you are merciful. Thank you for reminding for reminding us this morning of that truth. I pray, God, that what we have heard today will not stay at church, but it will dictate the way we live our lives every day. When we fall short, I pray, Father, that we will keep hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in Theo's voice, reminding us that we serve a God who is merciful. The way we raise our families, the way we do our jobs, the way we do life daily will become a testament and a reflection that we serve a God who loves not only His church, but even those who are outside His church and want everyone to be reconciled with Him. And with that as well, Lord, I want to pray that You will raise us as laborers that will go further in this great harvest, so that those around us who don't know You will also come to know Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for Your Spirit in the room this morning. We thank You for the ministry of Your love. I pray, Father, that You will bless the rest of this day and even the week that is coming ahead, that the ministry we have received today will not stop here, but every day, Lord, Your Spirit will keep building on what we have received this morning. We praise You. We give You all the glory. We give You all the honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please feel free to share some coffee at the back. Hang out with somebody. Chat with somebody. Just share with your neighbor what you felt the Lord lay in your heart and what you heard through Theo's sermon. God bless you.